Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Last night I said we were going to talk about the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission's continuing attack against the world of cryptocurrency, and get an what I consider to be an expert opinion from Bruce Fenton, who we've had on as a guest from time to time here on Free Talk Live. We used to broadcast from his used to do a convention here in New Hampshire, and it ran right up, I think, up until COVID, when you couldn't for the life of you find a venue that was willing to actually host your convention. So I think you just kind of, you know, stopped organizing it after that. I heard a rumor it might be coming back this year, though. So we'll let you know as we hear more about that.
But what was it called? Never heard of this.
Restate Bitcoin or something like that. I don't remember. Okay. Sorry, I don't remember the exact name of it. But it was basically the only Bitcoin convention happening in New Hampshire. And he would host it out on the seacoast. Ended up.
Wait, this is the one that former co-host Christopher Reitman went to.
Chris,
right?
And I went.
And spoke at one point.
I believe Chris did speak from that. Yes, as a matter of fact, Chris and I actually bunked up at an Airbnb. Actually, it was cheaper than the hotel, and it was much nicer.
That when sounds we did about that.
One bed
Airbnb.
No, well, yeah, actually, I think we were in the same bed. If I recall correctly, but yeah, it was
not
really,
that there's anything wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. So anyway, Bruce Fenton's a really great Free State Project early mover who
ran for a Senate, I believe, this last year.
He did.
Should have just ran for a state rep.
He should have, but you know what? He wanted to jump in the deep end of the pool and really, you know.
I think the same thing about Lily Tang Williams. She could have been a state rep for like 3 years in a row or something. Or
yeah,
four.
She's taking another crack at it, apparently. She's going for the U.S. rep seat once again.
Well, I guess that's good, but I mean, she's getting pretty conservative with many of her positions.
Is she?
I mean, especially in regard to transphobia. She tells the same narrative that all of these people do. Like, we got to protect the kids from the gender transitions, from the having their genitals mutilated. And I don't know if she said that exact line, but she has echoed exactly the same sentiments and stuff online.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
But I mean, this is increasingly.
How does she treat you in real life? Have you ever met her?
We've interacted a whole lot in real life, but she's always been kind to me. Mm. But I don't know. People are different online.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I mean, I guess it's the nature of the political animal, right? Like maybe, I don't know. I don't want to go out on a limb for somebody that's saying those things. I like her personally, but then again, most politicians, a lot of them, are personally very likable. I mean, they're good at ingratiating themselves with people. They want you to like them. They're scum of the earth, most of them, but they want you to like them. Now, the libertarians here, the voluntarists, I don't typically consider them to be scum of the earth because we actually know them, or we can get close to them and we can talk to them. We can actually sit down and have a real conversation with them. They're accessible.
None of them were at Porkfest.
Right. And that's a difference between your typical politician and a lot of the people that we know. But to see them, you know, going away from the liberty message or the message of individualism and individual liberty and respecting other people's right to live their life how they want is a very disturbing thing to see. Now, I haven't seen the post personally, but I mean, I'm going to take your word for it, obviously.
To her credit, I don't think she's gone quite that far. Okay. So, I mean, I think she's still a good libertarian.
Okay.
And, you know, she's worth supporting for her runs.
Mm-hmm.
But it concerns me when I see people begin down this path toward conservatism.
Yeah, I don't like to see people pandering, and I feel like that may be what's going on. Without, again, having the exact posts in front of me. And we've certainly seen the libertarians who've been elected here in New Hampshire as state representatives, for instance, not exactly being the most principled on all of the issues all of the time.
How about Jason Sorens, I think?
Jason Osborne.
Osborne, yes. Who recently, he's the House Majority Leader, right? The Free Stater House Majority
Leader.
He is,
right now, yeah, he is.
And, you know, recently, I think it was in the NBC documentary, that you can find at NBC10.com, just look up Free State documentary.
NBC Boston.com/Free State.
Yep. And he says something to the effect of, I'm no longer an individual. I'm just a vessel through which the people of New Hampshire express their will.
I rolled my eyes so hard at that one.
It's not even a possible thing. There's no such thing as being able to represent 3,000 people.
And you would think a state rep would know that, right? I mean, you would think a libertarian state rep would know that.
Right.
But he's bought the press, man.
I don't know. It makes me wonder if he is just trolling with a comment like that. Like, how anyone...
That's true. If
position.
I said that, it would be obviously trolling, right?
How anyone could take that seriously coming from somebody who used to describe himself as an anarchist. Now, supposedly, the story behind Jason Osborne, who for many years was an angel sponsor here on Free Talk Live. Like, he, for the early years, the pre-Bitcoin.com years, Jason kept us on the air.
The Sickle CA line toll-free number.
Sickle CAI, yeah, that was his collections business.
Or Sickle CIA.
Well, anyway, he was really, really a principled guy. He used to be on our Free Talk Live PBS back when we had our forum that was very popular. In fact, he got in trouble with the Democrats in New Hampshire for some of his old Free Talk Live forum posts.
Oh, that's right, he did. I forgot,
So he used to be a very, very principled liberty guy. He even ran Porkfest a couple of years.
The poor guy.
I'm just now finding out about, like, this year, that subject has come up so many times. There's, like, so many people that have run Porkfest that I never knew until this year.
It's been a 20-year-long event. It's been a lot of people that have come through and stopped.
From what I've seen, a person tends to run it for 1 year, maybe 2 to 3 years. 3 years seems to be about the average from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It
some people
to me
come
about
in
the average.
And they, you know, once, twice, and they're done. It's a lot.
It is, man.
But the thing I wanted to say was the supposed story, and I don't think I heard this directly from Jason, so take it as hearsay. The supposed story is that he had kids, and then his perspectives changed, and now he's found God, and now
you never want to find that guy.
Now he's a true Republican.
Really?
And I don't know, that supposed, liberty, quote-unquote, liberty Republican.
So he didn't find God, he found the state.
I don't know. I don't know if he's just deep cover, and he's still truly a, you know, voluntarist at heart.
He should get his anarchist tattoo removed.
He's just playing the, does he have one?
I thought he did.
He might.
It was like in the NBC documentary. I know that for some reason, like it was on...
The liberty activists who run for office, it seems like a lot of them have watered themselves down, and they're not putting forward the most principled legislation that they possibly can.
They get in and they just start to be like, oh, I can legislate my opinions too. Yes, and it's also a time period where everybody agrees with me about, like, you know, hitting gay people or whatever. Like, Leah Cushman, for example. Not even a libertarian, but she thinks she is. I'm pretty sure she's one of those people who lived in, like, Massachusetts, which she did, that's where she came from. She lived in, like, Massachusetts during COVID, and she was like, I don't want to be forced to get my kids vaccinated. And then she was like, oh, the only people on the internet agreeing with me are libertarians. I must be a libertarian. She's just a conservative. Every other take she has at all is conservative. Closed borders, things like that.
Oh,
you go to her Facebook, it's like a conservative, regular boomer conservative Facebook.
Is she one of these people who will insist, though, that she's not a conservative?
Yes.
Because what is good? There's something going on here that we have to figure out. There's a lot of these people who are just ordinary conservatives, but they get so upset and they will insist, I'm not a conservative, but like they are.
She didn't vote for the ending the war on drugs thing that 35 Republicans and 35 Democrats voted for.
There's your litmus test right there. I mean, if you're a libertarian, this is one of the key libertarian issues.
It's like not even hard.
It's
like
drugs.
It's not like it's like, oh, it's on the cusp. Exactly. Like, the other thing she did was she was one of the big people, I think one of the sponsors of that bill that would have called cops on teachers if they, like, called a biological boy a she because the kid wanted them to. Well, you get the cops called on you, a.k.a. the Parental Bill of Rights bill. Which was really just like increasing, whether you agree with the idea that should happen or not, just think, if you go into office as a libertarian, all you should be doing, period, is making the state smaller, not making the state bigger, even if it's
right,
your pet issue.
Right, not trying to change the rules to have the state crack down on the people you don't like or whatever. You should be going in there proposing an end to government schools.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's what I said to her on Twitter, at least. I said, you and all the Republicans who sponsored and supported this bill would have done a lot more for kids if all you did was simply, not even as a state rep, just went out there and advocated for homeschooling. Like, go out there and create your own homeschooling method for people to follow if they are too scared to do homeschooling, or just go out there and hand out leaflets to people about how to do homeschooling. I don't know. You could have accomplished so much more. But the other thing is, just make a bill that ends public schools. I mean, really, public school is optional in New Hampshire at this point. If you're rich, you're probably rich enough to homeschool your kids. And if you're poor, you can get a voucher and homeschool your kids.
Yep.
Or take them to a public school.
And you absolutely should do that.
School. Right.
But the subject of parental rights continues to come up. It came up at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Carlin gave a rant about exactly that subject. And I actually brought up something that you mentioned, Bonnie, is that the core issue here isn't that teachers might not tell the parents something or the school might not tell the parents something. The core issue is that the children might not be comfortable telling their parents that.
We're talking about if they're gay or trans. Or
and something. That's the critical issue, right? This isn't a parental rights issue. It's not a school rights issue. It's a parenting issue. And why is your relationship with your children so potentially damaged that they're not comfortable bringing anything and everything to you?
Mm-hmm.
If your children are hiding something from you, then you've permanently damaged your relationship with your children at some point. Ask yourself why and see if you can repair that. But don't get angry
rather
at the school.
Rather than using the state to do your parenting for you.
This Republican lady, she's like an older woman, told me the other day, the culture nowadays is so bad, my grown children won't talk to me because they said I'm too controlling. Like, as if I was going to... She was saying, like, can you believe that? I was just sitting there, Blaming her kids. Well, blaming the culture for making her kids think she's controlling. I was like, I don't know what you want me to say that.
We'll go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. What is your name?
Stefan.
Stefan, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I don't have too much to add on the current topic because I don't really consider myself much of a libertarian anymore, but I do understand that this is
post-libertarian? I mean, what kind of where have you gone since being a libertarian?
Considerably to the left. Not necessarily left libertarian. I consider myself more of a civil libertarian, honestly.
What does that mean?
As far as like civil rights. Basically, when it comes to things like drugs, guns, abortion, things like that, I definitely oppose state intervention. But for economic affairs, I definitely do favor some state intervention.
Economic affairs, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Like mixed market. I prefer a mixed market economy.
Mixed market meaning that the state gets to redistribute people's wealth?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
In some fashions, but... What I had actually called about was more so to...
Yeah, but I'm more interested in that. I mean, if you want to wish Aria good luck, that's fine, but I want to come back to it, so go ahead.
Oh, basically, good luck. Sorry they're sticking you in the cage for 18 months. That's a real pain. But what more specifically were you interested in speaking about, Ian?
Well, I'm curious. You used to be a libertarian, you said, and now you've gone to the left. You think that the state should be used to redistribute people's wealth in certain ways, and I just want to
hear... a mixed market would mean some things are regulated, right? Do you think that it's just fine for the government to regulate the things that are putting Ari in jail? You're a little confusing. Like, doesn't seem like you're very,
I don't think
consistent.
Aria hurt anybody with her crime specifically or what they considered her crime. She's just selling a cryptocurrency. She's a small individual. She doesn't really have a lot of power in the economy at that point.
But somebody could sell cryptocurrency and hurt somebody with it, so it should be regulated, right? Mixed market economy.
Well, to a degree, of course.
Then why are you sorry the Aria is going to prison?
So is it all about the amount of crypto that somebody sells to you?
To a degree. I think more so it has to do with the fact that cracking down on cryptocurrency being used for illicit purposes, I'm not necessarily opposed to that. And I think the...
Well, that's not really happening either.
Oh, this is like drugs? You just said that you don't agree in the war on drugs. Drugs are illicit purposes.
Well, and the FBI and just about every governmental agency, except for the Office of the President, that, part of their job is to spread propaganda. Every government agency that investigates this sort of thing has concluded the same thing, which is that the overwhelming majority of cryptocurrency transactions are totally above the board, totally legitimate sales. and that it's a small minority that are illicit.
Well, of course. And I'm not saying go after all cryptocurrency transactions, but ones that are used for scams, for example, I'm very much in favor of the government cracking down on. Although it's very ambiguous, very hard to crack down on, given the decentralized nature of cryptocurrencies to begin with.
But you know that those people aren't going to go after really hard-to-find fish. I mean, they said that in Ian's trial, that they never have caught an actual scammer because, well, they're just really hard to find. But they will go after people like Ari and Ian so that way they can silence their political dissenters. So why would you want a group of people to have... you know, total power of who they get to throw in jail based on something that could happen? Well, we could have people selling cryptocurrency and scamming people with it. So let's give these psychopaths the power to throw anyone in jail that they want. Because that's how it happens in the real world. There's not some kind of utopia where people, everyone in the government's a good person and they only work really hard to find scammers.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think, Stefan, that you, if people like you who have whatever viewpoint you have about this mixed economy, regulating crypto in the way you think it should be regulated, do you think you would be able to make the FBI do the things you want them to do?
Well, of course not.
Well, why do you think that they would ever do those things then?
Well, it's a top-down issue, or sorry, rather a bottom-up issue. This is something that would require vast systemic change. I mean, the corruption in the FBI and whatnot.
You think you could just form a new bureaucracy and that would solve the problem?
Potentially. I wouldn't mind a soft reset, or rather a hard reset of the federal law enforcement agency.
Why would you think that just hitting the reset button and still having a monopoly on violence would somehow reform in a useful manner?
I don't necessarily think a monopoly on violence is always a bad thing.
In what example would it be a good thing?
Well, terrorists, for example.
What terrorists?
But if there are terrorists, then someone doesn't have a monopoly on violence. There's a different organization also using violence, right?
Well, remember, the last time we heard them bust a terrorist was a 16-year-old who was really lonely and, like, mentally challenged or whatever, who is currently, by the way, I think he's getting bail finally. They tried to keep him from getting any kind of bail, but they are going to give him bail. Anyway, for those that heard us talking about that, 2 weeks ago? But they every time they bust a so-called terrorist, it's just the federal government ginning up a terrorist where one of them never existed by essentially encouraging lonely, pathetic people to essentially go out and commit violence that they otherwise never would have. So, I mean, there really aren't any terrorists that they haven't created.
I'm not necessarily familiar with the case you're referring to.
Oh, there's like a million of them. But yeah, the one that he was referring to that we talked about last week, this guy, Mateo Ventura, a 16-year-old at the beginning of it, started being courted by an FBI agent posing as, like, a Middle Eastern online, asking him for Google Play, $25 Google Play gift cards and things like that, and he believed he was giving it...
To fund the jihad.
Yeah, to fund jihad in, you know, wherever, for ISIS, and he continued talking to him until the guy was 18, and
they tried to get him to move to the Middle East.
Yeah,
right?
Tried to get him to take a flight to the Middle East, and they're probably going to arrest him at the airport or something. Then eventually the FBI comes to
Which
his house and arrests him.
He refused to go.
Well, he didn't end up going, yeah. But either way, he was tricked that he was talking to the FBI, and he was like, yeah, I believe in all this stuff. He was a mentally disabled 16 to 18-year-old, and he sent $25 gift cards at a time. It's just the FBI ginning someone up. I mean, it happens all the time. That's just the most recent example.
Yeah. But that's what you want, right? You want...
Well, if somebody's funding Middle Eastern terrorism, I don't care if it's really FBI and disguise. Yeah, lock them up.
You don't care
you
if
pathetic,
a retarded kid is getting... manipulated by the FBI and then gets the rest of their life or 10 years in prison. You don't care about that. You're the problem then. You're honestly a piece of crap. You should honestly go work on yourself. Go do whatever you need to do. Go backpack Europe and meditate and just not have any control over other people for a while because you're a psychopath if you think that's fine.
Why did you change your mind? I mean, you used to be a libertarian when you called this show many years ago. I think you've probably been calling for upwards of a decade. You used to be pretty libertarian, and what was it that changed your mind to say, no, you think people should be controlled? You think you should be using force against peaceful
people?
Honestly,
it was the COVID pandemic and the response to it.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like a lot of individuals were resisting the idea of restrictions simply because they were restrictions. It was simply doing the opposite of what they were told.
So you're one of those people who totally bought into the government tell you what to do for your safety?
To a degree.
Wow. What a dupe.
That is sad, man.
Sad. Very sad.
It's ridiculous.
Thank you for the call.
You don't
tonight.
Sound 85 years old.
Pathetic. The number here is 603-283-6160, but it does go to show. I'm actually glad he called in because it ties in with what we were talking about earlier with these politicians when they are supposedly liberty-oriented, but then when they get a little taste of power, they start to change their tune or just the idea of the taste of power. They didn't even get in. Like, Stefan hasn't been elected to anything. He's just some young guy who got it in his head that people need to be told what to do for their own good.
The thing is, it's utopian. He believes that there can be a new FBI. If he just hand selects the people that are good enough to be that new FBI, then they can actually work on just helping people. And he doesn't understand that human nature doesn't work like that and that power corrupts.
Yeah. Let's continue here. We got Tim calling us from Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that guy's just fantasizing about seizing power. It happened
like
after
it.
I read Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. But that guy you were talking about, that the FBI basically, you know, tried to groom him into committing some kind of terrorist act.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he refuse to go, he reported the undercover to the FBI.
That's right,
and
he did.
And they basically halted. They're like, oh, we're not going to process his report. So they halted that and then went out and arrested him anyway.
Yep. Yep.
Even though they knew full well that he, I assume, I don't know that, but.
Right, they weren't able to get him, they weren't able to get him for anything more than funding terrorism. They tried to rope him into actually moving over to ISIS territory, which would have been a completely different charge on its own. And
even if he didn't actually do any terrorism, right? Or
correct.
Yeah.
All he did was buy a few Google Play gift cards, like $1,000 worth of, $1,600 or something over 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Of Google Play, Steam.
It's literally a case of the FBI taking a 16-year-old retarded kid's lunch money and then prosecuting him for it, and now he's facing 10 years in prison.
That's
and
right.
Stefan says he thinks that's a
fine.
Good thing. That's something good that the FBI is doing.
Crazy.
And honestly, that makes him a piece of garbage.
Well, I think the FBI is training all of their agents to basically, you know, like a dog. Once you have a hold of your target, don't let go no matter what. Like, no matter what you find out, you just finish your job.
And make sure you have no scruples or morality whatsoever, because anybody that did would obviously not be doing this to easily impressionable teenage boy.
It's people like Stefan who believe that there's somebody out there that knows what's good for you, and if you just listen to them and don't think for yourself, you can be doing good things by following orders. So he believes that that's possible for the FBI. He believes that that was the case during COVID. If we just listened to COVID or the government, COVID would have gone away. Less people would have died.
Thank you, Tim.
That's what it was all really about, sure.
For the call. I appreciate it. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'll be right back.
USA News Update. The short-lived mercenary rebellion in Russia has uncertain implications, according to State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
It is a new thing to see Yevgeny Prigozhin directly questioning the rationale for this war and calling out that the war has been conducted essentially based on a lie.
The leader of the Wagner Group initiated the armed uprising, initially directing his forces to march toward Moscow from Ukraine's front lines, but later ordered them to abandon that march. Amazon's telehealth rollout facing potential delays due to congressional concerns about the service. Democrats Elizabeth Warren and Peter Welch expressed worries about the privacy of private health data in a letter to the company. They cited a Washington Post investigation revealing users' data rights being signed away. And President Biden's job approval numbers are up. A new Gallup poll puts the president's approval rating at 43%. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Join us online as well. At freetalklive.com. And enjoy the features there. By the way, a big thanks to the folks over at Dash for sponsoring Free Talk Live. Dash is digital cash. It's a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And last year, Dash launched a killer app that allows you to spend Dash at over 155,000 locations across the United States, including major retailers. We're talking brands, companies you're familiar with. And the best reason to do this, not just because you get to spend your crypto, which is very hard to do with most cryptocurrencies, but you also get a discount for paying with Dash. So you finally have a reason to spend your crypto because it's better than using the dollar in this case. Dash Direct is what you have to download for your Apple or Android device. It's available in the app stores. And each store, by the way, on Dash Direct offers their own discount level. So you may see some as high as like 7, 8, 9%. Some are as low as like, you know, less than 1% or 2%, something like that. I think a lot of them are in kind of the 4 to 6%. So it's really, it just depends on the company. It depends on what kind of discount they want to offer. So
any discount at all is better than you're going nothing. To get from, you know, is better than 100%.
Absolutely. So go to grab that Dash Direct app and get over to Dash.org to learn more about Dash. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. And thanks to the Dash DAO, that's their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we continue here, we have Jeff calling us from Wilmington. Jeff, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying your show, by the way.
Welcome, sir.
I'm an elderly person. I'm 73, and my background has to do with teaching health for a state health department. I was trained through Stanford Medical School. So if you hear any bias, it may be because I was a state employee,
okay. And
I also was in the health field and studied things like virology and immunology for the classes that I taught. So you had a gentleman named Stefan on earlier, and most of your criticism of him I do appreciate and think you were correct. Most of what you said is correct. But the area where I raise a question, and I'd like to argue with you a little bit, is when COVID hit, there was a sense that it was a national emergency. I don't know that that's correct because there are a lot of versions of COVID because I've studied how viruses mutate.
Mm.
But I also had the feeling that some government regulation of some things can at times be helpful during the crisis period.
Was it helpful for perfectly healthy people who were never going to die of COVID to have their businesses shut down and to lose that much money, to lose their livelihoods in most cases?
No, I agree with you on that.
So what was the government going to do to help people? You have to explain what the government would do to help people. What they did was do things like destroy people's businesses.
Right. But I'm agreeing with you on that part. Let me explain where we differ. And I'm not disrespectful of your opinion. I have a lot of questions about it. Where we differ is there were businesses that were required to have people wear masks when they were mingling with the public. And I favored those rules for those public gatherings, that people during the height of the disease should wear masks. And the reason is my medical training is I know that the transmission of virus would be reduced by people being further apart, like more feet apart, and wearing masks.
That's already been disproven. So I don't really care who taught you that, but they were wrong. It's been disproven. So what else?
To me, it's irrelevant whether they were right or wrong. You still don't have the right to force people to engage in certain behaviors for the benefit of others.
Yeah, why shouldn't the businesses been able to make their own decision?
Give me an example that would actually be helpful. Like if the government was telling people, like, hey, you should probably take vitamin C. I mean, I wouldn't really be opposed to that.
Well, that would be a suggestion.
A suggestion, too. But he also gave us not just something that wasn't just a suggestion. It was being enforced, like people are going to jail for this. But something that was proven to not actually be effective. I don't care if some teacher told you a thing. They were wrong. Go read the studies about it.
We know that the masks were not effective at all. In fact, there's a lot of reasons why they were actually making things worse. Because
it's
people
how they make the masks is where we disagree. If the masks
No, where we disagree
properly,
is the force. The
yes,
government
the
forcing people to do things. But also, it doesn't matter if you think a thing about masks and it's false. I don't really care who taught you it.
He said he doesn't think you should go to jail. So does that mean let me clarify. Does that mean that you don't think the businesses should have been forced
They should have been eligible to be fined for not
following. Okay, well, that's force.
Right. Yeah, but that's not sending people to jail.
Yes,
so you lied
is.
At the
what
beginning. You lied
on.
At the beginning. You what think you... that people should have their businesses taken away from
Can
them or their money taken away from them for not protecting your old ass.
What
because
you
are susceptible to dying and they're not. You can't just stay home and take care of yourself, work out, get some sun, and try not to die. You need young people to ruin their businesses and possibly go to jail, but...
Well, here's the thing, if they don't pay the fine,
they're probably going to go to jail.
He's missing the fact that if you don't pay the fine, what is it that happens to you, Jeff?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I have the answer. I'm not the type of person.
Well, I have the answer. They go to jail.
Can I finish my sentence, please?
Can you just not be dumb? Like, I hate when dumb
Bonnie,
people
please,
call in.
Please stop using name calling, okay? So it's not appropriate. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
I am saying that there are some answers I do not have. A person's entitled to say that, in a difference of opinion.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. That's the thing. If you're
like
talking about a fact, I don't want to argue with people who literally don't know what they're talking about. If you don't know the answer to what happens if you don't pay a fine, the answer is you go to jail, then you don't know what you're talking about.
It's hard to believe people don't know this, but I guess a lot of people haven't actually thought it through. They just think, oh, fine, I got to cut a check. The government says you got to pay something, you got to pay it. Well, why do you got to do that, right? Like, why do you have to pay the fine? Because the answer, Jeff, is that there's a man with a gun who's going to appear, and it'll probably be more than one of them, who will appear in your life if you don't pay the fine, and if you ignore the follow-up threats that come in, because they will probably send you another letter if you don't pay the fine the first time around, and eventually they're going to schedule a court date for you over that, and if you don't want to go to the court date, then they're going to send men with guns over there, and if you don't do the thing that the judge says for you to do, the men with guns are going to take you and put you into a cage, and if you don't go voluntarily with the men with the guns into the cage, and you actually say to yourself, well, no, this is my life and I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm going to refuse to go with these men with guns, then they will escalate the use of force against you until you are forced into compliance or they kill you. That's what backs up a fine every single time. So when you say you want a business to be fined, that is what that is what you're asking for. You're asking for men with guns to enforce that fine by the maximum violence necessary.
Where I'm questioning you, I've learned a lot from you, I thank you for that, is when you go into a public place, if there's any sense of risk or anything, there needs to be some ability to regulate public arenas so that people that are vulnerable to disease are less vulnerable and made a little safer. Maybe it was something where it could simply be a certain number of feet of distance where people were, because viruses are passed through when people are close to each other and they breathe on each other.
Yeah, okay, but well, people who are susceptible, it's their own responsibility to keep themselves safe, and if they're more susceptible than others, then they should stay home, not demand other people make special accommodations for them.
And people who are stupid enough to not know
that they may not be able to get life-sustaining supplies.
Okay,
Instacart exists, DoorDash exists, all these things exist.
There's people who you can hire to do that for you.
And people that are dumb enough to think that masks were actually keeping them safe from COVID still are. There's still people that do that.
I saw one lady wearing a mask today.
Should not go to businesses where people aren't being forced to wear masks. Just don't go to that business. You have to go to somewhere else that is making people wear masks.
Yeah, I think what the perspective of Free Talk Live was throughout the entire COVID situation was that we should allow the market to respond to this. If, without government mandates, if some stores want to have requirements for their customers because they feel like their customers are demanding that or they think it'll keep their customers safe, then they should do that. And they should be
social Darwinism.
Sure, yeah, if you want to look at it that way. I think it was completely fine for people to walk around without masks on because ultimately it is about survival of the fittest, and very few people died from contracting COVID. It was ultimately, you know, nothing more serious than a bad case of the flu. And even elderly people mostly survived when they came down. It was really only the ones who had what they called the comorbidities, the ones that were, you know, obese.
That's
or
true.
Or had some other kind of serious issue.
They said that our friend that we know died of COVID. They put COVID as his cause of death when he died of liver failure.
You're talking about Ken from Kirby Stew?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say his name. It's not my stuff to
but
share.
But not everybody was falsely died of something other than COVID.
But there was a lot of it. There was a lot of misrepresentation, a lot of fudging the numbers.
And there was incentive for them to do that. There was incentive for government-funded medical facilities to do that. So why wouldn't it be rampant? It probably was. The other thing is lots of people died of a drug that killed people and had to be stopped within 2 weeks of testing called remdesivir, and that was killing people, and it was then said that they died of COVID.
Hey, Jeff,
remdesivir.
Thank you for the call tonight, okay. Jeff. I do appreciate the conversation here. Let's continue. We got this caller on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What's your name?
Yes, it's Bobby from Florida.
Bobby, you're on the air. Go ahead.
not talking to him.
I just wanted to say
he threatened to kill me in the chat, so I'm not going to talk to this guy.
Okay. Bobby, go ahead.
I don't
know who that was.
I'm not for sure what she's talking. Who would she even know who's in the chat?
I don't know how she would know that. Go ahead,
Bobby.
I wanted to say to Aria.
I think he did.
Anyways, I wanted to say goodbye to Aria, and I've enjoyed hearing her on the show, and I remember when she was on with Will, and I love that show, the midday one. That
Call
was my
of Freedom.
Favorite, like the Call of Freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
I really, that was one of my favorite midday shows.
Yeah,
there
I miss
before,
Will, too. Hope he comes
back someday. And I really, I'm just sad about this whole situation. You know, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I am happy you stuck to your guns, and I'll be waiting to hear you on the other side, Ari. And I just, love you as a person, and I thank you for all the great nights of talk that you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
And you said goodbye, but, to put your mom here, it's not goodbye, right? Like, I'm going on a forced vacation for a year or so, perhaps more, perhaps less. And that's not necessarily what I would choose to do.
At the Devon Spiritual Retreat.
Yes. But it's certainly not goodbye.
Now, we are hoping to hear from you. I don't know what kind of access you're going to have to a phone. I mentioned this the other night, but I'm hoping you'll call in, or I'm hoping you'll be able to call in to the live show. If not, we'll record, some interviews where you can share, what the experience has been like.
Well, the Bureau of Prisons doesn't like people talking about them, right?
That's what I say. Only if you feel like it. I don't want you to put yourself at risk or
everything that I've read suggests that I will be treated differently for being a media person or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's extremely unlikely that I will be able to communicate with anyone here at Free Talk Live and tell them what things are really like. So, to know what things are really like, you're probably going to have to wait until I'm in the studio again.
I wonder about that. You'll figure it out when you're there.
Yeah, certainly.
What level of discussions you can have and what things you can talk about. I don't know. I guess what they said is you don't want to piss them off, so they put you in the communications management unit. But what it would be that would upset them, I don't know, right? Like, that's the kind of thing you'll probably have to feel out from the other inmates and that sort of thing. Anything else, Bobby?
Are you going to be able to do that group home halfway house, like, at 10 or 11 months in? Do you know that yet?
No one knows. All I know is that I have to go to prison tomorrow. Like, that's...
Right.
The government, they told me what prison I was going to 6 days ago, man. They have not planned anything about me 11 months from now or 10 months from now. And they won't do that until that time comes.
Yeah, she's going to be at some point introduced to these various different programs that she could go through in order to potentially reduce the amount of time. There are different options for that. But we don't know what all those are or how much time could totally be removed. And a lot of it is up to the bureaucrats themselves. So it's up to whoever the administrative types are of the Bureau of Prisons to say whether or not she should get out at 6 months or 8 months or 9 months or whatever. But it is possible. If we look at what happened with Mark Hopkins, who we had on the show a month or two ago, who was also in jail for the same exact charge, just a different variant of it, the unlicensed money transmission charge. He was in for a 15-month sentence, so almost the same. Aria's got 18. And he was out after 7 months. So that that doesn't mean the same thing
will happen. House?
He was out into a halfway house, and he said the reason why he was not allowed to just simply go home and do a home confinement, does not understand why they didn't do that to him, because he has a wife and a kid and a house to
go to. My supervisor officer suggested that I would most likely get home confinement, but they're going to do what they want.
So should he.
Right.
But he didn't. So, again, it's just all completely up to the bureaucracy. Anything else, Bobby?
No, and I'll talk to you two, Ian, before you go in, and
it's not a done deal yet. I mean, I'm still cautiously optimistic that some of these charges...
I'm continually hopeful that you're not going to prison.
Some of these charges could be dropped, if not all of them.
That would be great. Yeah. Well, I would keep the hope up, too, and I thank you guys for all the nights of and all the fun.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. Let's continue here. We've got Cynthia on the line in California. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hey.
A long time no call. I wanted to make some comments on two issues. One of them is to suggest people look back at the man known as the Unabomber in light of a book called Harvard and the Unabomber, showing he was an MKUltra subject. And but I also wanted to mention I'm also a retired physician, and I'm not defending the man who just called and said he was a graduate of Stanford Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
I'm explaining that they literally put falsehoods into our textbooks and make it hard for you to find the truth.
Mm.
And of course, you know, if your academic pay depends on you being ignorant of the truth, then obviously that's a small conflict of interest. And I was in private practice and kept realizing that what they recommended we do wasn't working. And as you try to find techniques and tactics and solutions that work, you discover that they attack your medical license. So there's that comment on it. But I want to go back to the issue of Harvard and the Unabomber, because he was apparently underage when he started Harvard. And the book Harvard and the Unabomber was written by a man who had maybe Army military intelligence experience, and he was not happy with the conduct of our government in experimenting, human experiments on people who were in the service. And, you know, I think back to things that happened to me in college, and I'm going, oh, is that why I nearly flunked out one semester, you know, when I was a top student?
Are you saying they were experimenting on you in college?
I don't know. I went on an Honor Society trip to New Orleans, and the only thing I remember is somebody pushing a drink towards me at Pat O'Brien's and then saying, here, try this. And the entire trip,
whoa.
And that was the first time I'd flown on an airplane.
And you don't remember the rest of the trip?
I don't remember anything else of that trip.
I mean,
I've seen a
Occam's
picture
razor
online that I was there, okay?
Yeah. Occam's razor would suggest that, you know, this was not a CIA experimentation plot. It sounds like you got roofied, right?
Yeah.
Well, all I know is I had straight A's when I left, and when I came back, I could not pass an exam.
Which would be consistent with someone who had been, you know, traumatized from being date raped.
No, I wasn't raped.
Like,
really,
how do you
know?
You
happened.
Don't remember it.
Because I subsequently have a boyfriend, and it's clear I had not been raped.
How would you know?
You wouldn't.
It was the fact that academically I could not perform anything. I just could not. I mean, I went from a straight A. I was 18, and I was already a junior at 18, and with a 4.0. And I come back from that trip, and I can't remember anything about the trip.
I think
and
we
I,
shouldn't.
I'm failing.
We
I
shouldn't
fail.
Focus in on this, since there's no way to prove what she thinks happened to her. But I think it is interesting that what you're saying. I've never heard this before. That the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, the guy that just died, he was an MK Ultra. Subject, and he was underage in college. It sounds to me like an open and shut case of the government creating a terrorist.
Well, what they did was they threatened him with the death penalty, so he took life imprisonment. But the reality is, I don't think they ever really proved he did those things. I think he was a patsy. And that's my guess after reading that book.
I don't know enough about the case.
I mean, MK Ultra.
Well, I want people to look back at it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay?
Sounds interesting to read. One thing about it is you could have really done those things but not been in your right mind. And if somebody's been messing around with your mind, which is what they were doing with the MK Ultra subjects, like, they were really doing that. It's not a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're messing around with your mind, maybe you could have done things you wouldn't normally do. I mean, it's common knowledge that people really can be hypnotized to crack like a duck or whatever, things they wouldn't normally do.
Who was it? Do you remember from your New Orleans trip, Cynthia, who it was that pushed the drink at you and then you forgot everything else after that? Was it one of your classmates?
I forgot everything before that.
Okay.
Everything about that trip.
Okay. Wow.
And I didn't even...
Did your classmates later explain anything to you? Because, I mean, presumably, you said you were there on a class trip, so presumably you were with some friends, right?
I was with an Honor Society trip, and I didn't know hardly anybody. It was a pre-medical society, Honor Society at college.
So you didn't have any friends on this trip? No one
was...
How
did you get home? Do you remember? You don't remember getting home?
No.
Wow.
No.
Cynthia, thank you for calling and sharing your story here with us tonight.
Wow,
it's absolutely
story.
Horrible. And a good there's a takeaway from this, right? Like, if you're traveling, it's good to be with people who you know and who you can trust, whether it's somebody that is your boyfriend or girlfriend, or whether it's just your friends or whatever, your family. To go alone on a journey can be its own adventure, certainly, but maybe you shouldn't be drinking in a bar if you're all by yourself.
There's so many things that could have happened in this situation. Like, when I was in a car accident and I hit my head, I came out and months went by and I just couldn't get straight A's anymore. I was in a college class in high school, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I don't know, I don't get anything. Like, I don't get it, and I failed. And that class, and they let, anyways, like, I couldn't function the way I used to function. Mm-hmm. Maybe she, like, got drunk and hit her head.
Yeah, could be.
That's possible.
Which also could have happened in the procedure of her being attacked by someone who was potentially trying to drug her and do other things.
Regardless, there's no reason to jump to, you know, I was kidnapped and experimented on by the CIA, right? Yeah. Like,
I mean, it really waters down the truth of the fact that people really were experimented on by the CIA, MKUltra, if everybody just thinks like, well, this one time, I forgot this weekend.
I got blackout drunk one time. I must have been a victim of MKUltra.
Let's continue here. We've got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Sister Ari, and Miss Bonnie. Good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about my pre-campaign, but I got something else I got to comment on. I'm going to make that brief. Just to another person that I know is currently listening to hearing the sound of my voice. Now, Stephen from Ohio. Now, I have personally dealt with Stephen on Skype. That being said, to risk public embarrassment, Stephen, I'm no surprise he become a pure statist because he is weak. Do not, I repeat, do not mess with my political endeavors in the future. That'll be starting in November, by the way.
What is he going to potentially do, do you think? I mean, he's in Ohio.
Oh, he will. Don't worry about it. I'm not even going to get into that.
Nope, you're not threatening him either.
You think Stephen is going to try to ruin your campaign?
He risks public embarrassment, and he does. I'll start moving my mouth about what he was doing on Skype and what I did.
What was he doing on Skype?
Well, I'll only say that if this guy starts to mess with my political future.
You're holding
future.
It close to your chest. You don't want to reveal it.
What were you doing on Skype?
You can't do that. What were you guys doing on Skype that you're embarrassed about?
In a sex tape. That's what I was.
What did he say? It was a sex tape?
What?
Most unique personality in a decade.
It had to be a sex tape, right?
Like, what else could these two people have been doing on Skype that they're, you know, I'm going to say what you were doing on Skype there, Brother Stephen, right? Like,
I'll let him come back. That was pretty entertaining. Hang on, Ricky. We'll continue here with that, whatever it is you wanted to say. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.